السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأتقياء وأصحابه الأسفياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا، ذلك الفوز العظيم. محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود، ذلك مثلهم في التوراة. ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار. وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. Dear brothers, respected elders, honorable ulama and sisters, I begin in the name of Allah and thank Him and praise Him and glorify Him and seek His forgiveness and ask Him to send His infinite mercy upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to enlighten our hearts with His love and love for His beloved Prophet, to guide us all to the right path so that we can all live like Muslims, die like Muslims and rise like Muslims on the day of Qiyamah. My dear brothers, we are living in such times of fitan and fasad, evil and corruption, regarding which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied 1400 years ago that there will come a time when it will be so difficult for people to remain steadfast upon deen, to the extent الرَّجُلُ يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. People will sell their iman for meager worldly gain, for little temptation. They will leave iman, leave Islam, and يُصْبِحُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِعُ كَافِرًا. They will be Muslim in the morning, kafir by the evening. وَيُمْسِعُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And they'll be Muslim in the evening and kafir by the morning. It will become so difficult to hold on to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and deen will be like holding burning charcoal in your hand. And when, as they say, when the going gets tough, then the tough get going. مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّتِي عِنْدَ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِي. When in such difficult times, and indeed, undoubtedly, those difficult times are upon us, when in those difficult times people hold on to deen and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his teachings as revealed by Allah upon him and as were understood and followed by his noble companions, it will be so noble in those days to hold on to the teachings of Rasulullah and deen, that in spite of living at home amidst your families, Allah will give you the reward of martyrs, even though you may die upon your bed. And not just one martyr. According to another hadith narration, Allah will give you the reward of 100 martyrs. And when a man goes in the path of Allah, and it's truly noble to go in the path of Allah and give up your life, so it's so pleasing to Allah. Rasulullah said, "Man sa'ala Allahu shahadata bi sidqin ballaghahu Allahu maratib ash-shuhada wa in mata ala firashi." Whosoever asks Allah for shahadat in his path, to be afforded the opportunity to give his life in his path for his pleasure, then Allah will elevate him to the status of shuhada, even though he may die on his deathbed. But if a person was lucky enough and fortunate enough to go in the path of Allah and sacrifice his life, his most prestigious, most valuable possession, his own life, then once it's gone, it's gone. Nobody will ever come back. Nobody has ever come back. Nobody will ever come back. And this was the wish of Rasulullah himself as well. The Prophet said, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنُقْتَلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ ثُمَّ أُحْيَا ثُمَّ أُقْتَلْ. The Prophet said, I wish I would be killed in the path of Allah, then made alive again, then killed, made alive, killed, made alive, and killed again. Multiple times to be given life and to be killed in the path of Allah. But Allah will not do that for anyone. And no one has ever come back. No one will ever come back. And everybody, it's a sad fact of society. All people don't have that courage, that dedication, that commitment, what it takes to show Allah your love for Allah. Give up everything and go in His path and not look behind. Many people are attached to their homes, families, businesses. World is such, it attaches itself to people. It's not easy to come out. So those who can make that sacrifice and commitment and go in the path of Allah and meet such an end, Allah has immense reward for them. Allah has such a reward for them. Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ. Those who are killed in the path of Allah, don't think they are dead. رَاذَ بَلَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Allah gives them such a life you can't even comprehend. In another verse, Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا. Don't even think such people who are killed in the path of Allah are dead. بَلَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Rather, they are alive in the presence of their Lord. They are given provisions. فَرِحِينَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. They are so happy with whatever Allah provides for them with His fazl. Most people, it's a fact, they don't have that courage and they don't have that commitment. But Allah is so merciful. Allah hasn't even left the door of His mercy and blessings and generosity and kindness and infinite blessings. Allah hasn't closed that door for all people. Allah has left it open for them as well. Allah has left it open for them. You might not have that courage to do what it takes to be a real man and a mujahid. But still, if you want reward for Allah, reward from Allah, even in your homes, in the society, wherever you live, when things get difficult, show your commitment to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by obeying Allah's commands, teachings of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Live by His example. Walk His walk, talk His talk. And live the way He lived. The way He lived during the day, the way He lived during the night, how He used to walk, how He used to talk, how He treated His family, how He treated His neighbors, how He prayed, how He did everything. Live that life. And when things will get difficult, people might mock you. People will laugh at you. And Allah has guaranteed, Allah has promised it. It's not easy for us to live like Muslims now. It's not easy now. It never was and never will be easy. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ وَإِنْ يُتْرَكُوا وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think they can claim to be mu'mins and believers? In order to get admission in any college, you need to pass an admissions test. You've got to show your worth, that you've got what it takes to study in a reputable institution. You've got to prove your worth. And by passing an interview, showing your skills, that you've got what it takes to work for a reputable company. And you've got to prove your worth, that you can hack it out when the going gets tough, and you can work for a company. You can live up to the demands of what are placed upon you. Similarly, Allah says, as though the Jannah I'm going to give you, you have to prove your worth, that you are worthy of being admitted in there. So don't think you'll be let off. You can just claim to be Muslims. How many of you might understand Urdu? And in Urdu we say, you think it's your auntie's house? khala ji ka ghar hai. You think you can just walk in like your auntie doesn't say anything to you, and you can just walk into Jannat nothing? أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم فليعلمن الله الذين صدقوا وليعلمن الكاذبين. Allah will definitely put you through tests. See your worth. Are you worth it? Do you deserve Allah's blessings and favors and mercy in these times of fitr and fasad? When it's not easy to be Muslim, so many distractions, so many different paths. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he was sitting amongst his companions, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjid Nabawi wasn't like this, mashallah, such a wonderful masjid, such a nice carpet, heated floor, such nice wuzu facilities and washrooms. Sahaba didn't have that luxury. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-sadiqul amin, beloved Prophet of Allah, Rasulullah, when he used to sit in Masjid Nabawi, if it used to rain, the roof was made of palm leaves, water would drip down, and the beloved Prophet of Allah would put his noble head in sajda in mud. Can you do that? Can we do that now? The day it rains, most of us don't even bother coming to the masjid. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say his prayer in that way. He the masjid once, and his companions around him, dusty floor, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew a straight line like this and small lines on the left and the right, and he said, look, watch, anna hadha sirati mustaqima, this is my path, straight path, this will lead you to Jannah. In between there are many side roads, there's a shaitan sitting on each side calling you. Whenever you come across one other side turning, says, come this way. This is a shortcut. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't you dare be tempted to be sidetracked. Don't be tempted to go into these side roads thinking it's a shortcut. This is the path of shaitan. أَنَّ هَذَا سِرَاتِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. And this is my path. Continue on this path. Don't be tempted on the left and the right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke of many, many paths. Many paths. I was saying previously, and Allah stated in the Quran, that Allah will definitely latublawunna fi amwalikum wa anfusikum wa la tasma'unna min alladhina utul kitaba min qablikum wa min alladhina ashraku adhan kathira. Allah will test you in so many different ways. Some of the ways you are bound to be tested is that people, especially from the book, لَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, from the mushriks, you will have to put up with listening أَذَنْ كَثِيرًا, such painful taunts, such criticism, and you will fundamentalists, extremists, and so on and so forth. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied, there will be not just one, 72 different paths will attract you this way and that way. And don't you dare be tempted on the left or the right. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what path should we follow? He said, just follow my path, Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, my path and the path of my companions. Rasulullah just didn't walk on his own. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to prepare an ummah, a whole nation. Rasulullah prepared an whole ummah, an ummah which was given the title by Allah, kuntum khayra ummatin. And when Rasulullah left this world, the deen Allah had sent him with, the message that Allah had sent him with, had been completed, established, and spread all over Arabia. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind a whole jamaat, a whole nation, which was dedicated to the message of Allah, to the sunnah and teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a jamaat about which Allah had said, Finally, the final blessing of Allah, which Allah will bestow upon all believers when they get to Jannah. May Allah take us all there. When people get to Jannah, and Allah would have admitted them into palaces beneath which there will be streams flowing in gardens, wa azwajum mutahara, wonderful wives. Allah Himself will ask the people, hal raditum, are you happy with what I've given you? Aturiduna shayyan azidukum, do you want anything else that I may give you? People will say, alam tubayyid wujuhana wa tudkhilana al-jannata wa tunajjina minan nar. Ya Allah, have you not enlightened our faces, saved us from Jahannam, put us into Jannah? What more can we want? Allah will say, ahlaltu alaykum ridwani wa la askhatu alaykum ba'dahu abada. I am so pleased with you today. I will never be angry with you ever again. What Allah will give all other people in Jannah at the end, Allah declared the same blessing for the companions of Rasulullah in dunya. Allah said, radiyallahu anhum, laqad radiyallahu anhum. I am definitely, surely happy. I am absolutely pleased and happy with the mu'mins and the believers who gave their allegiance to you. لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. And not only was Allah happy with the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah then made them the benchmark, the standard by which if anybody wants to please Allah, yes, we have to obey Allah. We have to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But how to obey Rasulullah? The way he was obeyed and followed by his companions. So much so, Allah said, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. And those people particularly who took the initiative, and they were the first, they took the lead in accepting Islam from the muhajireen. And those who migrated, left their homes, families, whatever needed to be sacrificed, they sacrificed. لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ. And they left their homes, they left their wealth behind. Just to give you one example, Suhaib Rumi radiallahu anhu is a famous Sahabi, one of the first companions to become a Muslim. So much so, he was so noble even in the eyes of the companions. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was martyred, he expressed a wish that my janazah should be prayed by Suhaib. He'd come from Rum, settled in Makkah, started a business, and Allah gave barakah in his business and he became a Muslim. When later, many years later, 13 years or so later, when Sahaba had to make hijrat, and everybody made hijrat, most people made hijrat secretly, Rasulullah made hijrat secretly as well, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu made hijrat openly. And when other people were making hijrat secretly, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he came up to the Kaaba, calmly made tawaf. Abu Jahl and company was sitting. He went up to them and addressed them. Whosoever wants his wife to become a widow, his children to become orphans, and whoever wants his mother to cry over him, I am leaving Makkah to go Medina, come and meet me outside. Umar radiallahu anhu. But Suhaib Rumi also left. And when the people of Makkah discovered Suhaib Rumi was leaving, they followed him. Hazrat Suhaib realized, people are following me. And he turned around and faced them. He said, you know I am a better archer than all of you. As long as there is a single arrow in my collection, you will not be able to come anywhere near me. And when my arrows run out, I will fight you with my sword until you get the better of me or I get the better of you. The choice is yours. But if you want, I am prepared to make you aware of all the wealth that I have accumulated and made here. You can have it all. I have many maid servants. You can have them all. All the houses I've made in Makkah, you can have them as well. Have everything. Just go back and let me go. They said, no problem. We're happy with that offer. So Suhaib Rumi gave them everything. Whatever he had made in the many years he had worked hard. And empty-handed he left Makkah, went to Medina. Rasulullah had already made hijrah. He was in Quba. And when he reached Quba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting amongst the companions eating dates, and when he saw Suhaib Rumi approaching, the Prophet called him nearby and asked him to join him in the dates. And while they were sitting, just eating, sharing some of those dates, Allah sent Jibreel with the revelation. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. There are many a people from amongst the people who buy themselves for the pleasure of Allah. He had spent every penny he'd ever earned, just came empty-handed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Suhaib, you've made a good bargain. Suhaib, you've done well. You've traded well. You've got yourself a good deal. Good deal with what? You've saved your iman. You've lost everything, but you've saved your iman. Allah says, لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ وَأَمْوَالِهِمْ يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. They seek the pleasure of Allah. They have already left their homes for the pleasure of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Those who were already settled in Medina before these muhajirin got here, they have already accepted Islam as well. Islam and Iman was deep rooted in their hearts. And these people, when they see them, they don't feel any tightness in their hearts. And they are happy to welcome them, share with them whatever Allah has given them. وَيُثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا. And they give them preference to these needy people, even though they themselves are in a desperate need. These are the people, the muhajireen and the ansar. They were the ones who took the initiative. Allah is so happy with them. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ. Those who follow them, بِإِحْسَانٍ, with piety, sincerity, similarly Allah will be happy with them as well. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Those who follow them, Allah will similarly be happy with them. Muhajireen, they made hijrah, they made sacrifice. Ansar were the helpers, they entertained these people, they shared with them whatever they had, they helped them settle down, and together as Muhajireen and Ansar, under the supervision of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, under his leadership, they then set about spreading Islam. Then where does that leave us? Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ. The rest of the ummah which comes after them, then they should pray to Allah. Pray what? وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا. Ya Allah, forgive us. وَالْإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Ya Allah, those who passed before us, and forgive them as well. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Do not create any malice in our hearts, any ill feelings, any hatred, any malice, any hard feelings for all these people who believe. وَلَا تَجَلْ فِي خُلُوبِنَا غِلَّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُ. Those people who took the initiative, made hijrah, those who entertained them, those who come after them, should hold them in high esteem and appreciate their sacrifices and hard work. Follow them in their footsteps. And anybody who doesn't, then Allah follows it up by saying, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ نَافَقُوا. If you don't, then anybody in the fourth category, he's nothing but a hypocrite. Anybody who doesn't appreciate the sacrifices of the Muhajireen, of the Ansar, and doesn't pray for them, in the eyes of Allah, he's nothing but a hypocrite. And hypocrites, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They won't just be in Jahannam, they will be in the deepest part of Jahannam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned people, there will come a time, people will, when we see what's happening around. It is a hadith in Tirmizi, in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported many things, 14 things which will happen. And one of those things which will happen, among the many things, is اتخذ الفيء دولاً والأمانة مغرماً والزكاة مغرماً. When people will regard zakat as a burden, and amanat will become an opportunity. Someone leaves some money with you, it's an opportunity. Who knows, where's your witness? Go away. You never gave me anything. وَتُعُلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ. People will seek knowledge of deen, but for dunya. رُفِعَتِ الْأَصْوَاتُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ People will raise voices in masajid. أَطَاعَ الرَّجُلُ إِمْرَاتَهُ وَأَقَّ أُمَّهُ A man will be obedient to his wife and disobedient to his mother. وَأَدْنَى صَدِيقَهُ وَأَقْصَى أَبَاهُ Be confined in his friends and distance himself from his father. وَشُرِبَتِ الْخُمُورُ Alcohol will be drunk and music will become common. وَظَهَرَتِ الْقَيْنَاتُ وَالْمَعَازِفِ سَادُ الْقَوْمِ فَاسِقُهُمْ The leader of the nations will be the worst people. وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْزَلُهُمْ And their intellectuals and their leaders will be the worst in the community. And among other things, then the Prophet said, وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةَ أَوَّلَهَا And when the later part of the ummah curses the first part, the Prophet said, فَارْتَقِبُوا عِنْدَ ذَٰلِكَ رِيحًا حَمَرًا وَزَلْزَلَةً وَخَسْفًا وَمَسْخًا وَقَذْفًا Then at such times, then just wait for such hurricanes, tornadoes, red winds, such earthquakes which will shake you, your faces will change, earth will split, And the showers, and it will rain with shower of rocks. Such times when people curse the Sahaba, when anybody does anything wrong, someone disobedient to his mother or father. Many times people come and complain to Maulana, ask for dua and so on, and say, Maulana, you know, my son, he stays away at night. You know, please. Then Maulana Sahaba will often say, May Allah guide him. Maulana, he speaks back in front of his mother. May Allah never bring such a day. But if anybody does, he will say, May Allah guide him. Maulana, my son is good for nothing. He doesn't do any work. He's married, got children. He doesn't want to do anything. May Allah guide him. Is that what people will say normally? You think they will say that? There's one sin. One thing, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you see people committing that sin, then don't say, may Allah guide them. Instead, say, may Allah curse them. And that sin is no ordinary sin. Is no ordinary sin. That sin is a severe sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's not you abandoning your prayer, that if you don't pray, may Allah curse you. No, if you don't pray, may Allah guide you. Not even your fasting in Ramadan. If you don't fast in Ramadan, may Allah curse you. No! May Allah accept your tawbah and guide you. If you are not truthful, you've done fraud, zina, drugs, whatever. May Allah forgive you and guide you. But when you see people, إِذَا رَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَانَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ When you see people cursing my sahaba, then the beloved Prophet of Allah, رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ Who never cursed anyone. He said, then say, may Allah curse you because you are nothing but evil through and through. This is what's happening today. People sitting on channels, on internet, their literature, the literature of Shias, their channels, and their khatibs, their scholars, and their public, they curse Rasulullah's companions. They curse Abu Bakr, they curse Umar, they curse Aisha, they curse Usman, they curse Hafsa, they curse all the companions of Sahaba. And then 30, 40 years ago, If you didn't know about these things, didn't matter so much because you never heard about them. They were in their own little pockets, hiding away in Iran, in India, Pakistan, wherever. But now, their kufr and their filth is being bombarded in your homes, in your front rooms, in your lounges. Your mothers, your wives, your sisters, your daughters and your sons are watching their kufr and taking effect. Most of you have probably got satellite televisions. All of you got smartphones in your pockets. When people want to know something, they don't come and ask Maulana anymore. They go to Sheikh Google and Mufti Twitter. And then he tweets. And so then this person becomes a tweet. Allahu Akbar. The Quran says, you want knowledge? Fasalu ahla dhikri in kuntum la ta'lamun. If you want knowledge, ask people of knowledge and they will tell you what is right and wrong and they will tell you what the real issue is. But people don't ask ulama, they don't, when we were coming here, Hadisa was saying, people don't read books anymore even. Not even books. Allah doesn't say if you don't know, pick up a book and find out, do your own research. Allah says, if you don't know, ask the people of knowledge. But not leave asking people of knowledge, reading books. Now people straight away, it's in their pocket. Sheikh Google says, oh yes. Allahu Akbar. And then Mufti Twitter seconds it. And mashallah, and this person doesn't become a knowledgeable man, he becomes a twit. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Now people are not asking, and in internet, in sky channels, Shias have three sky channels. One in Urdu, one in English, one in Arabic, in which they openly, arrogantly, they attack Sahaba, they curse them, they curse the companions of Rasulullah and the wives of Rasulullah, especially the most beloved wife of Rasulullah, Aisha radiallahu anha. I was showing brothers some clips. Last year in London, Shia celebrated the death of Aisha radiallahu anha. On the 17th of Ramadan, Allah gave the Muslims victory in Badr. And that is the day known in the Quran and referred to in the Quran as Yawmul Furqan. Anybody who participated in Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ اِطَّلَعَ عَلَىٰ بَدْرٍ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرٍ فَقَالَ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَكُمْ. There was an incident with Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu sought permission from Rasulullah to behead one companion. Rasulullah said, Umar, no, no. He participated in Badr. And Umar, what do you know about the people of Badr? Allah looked at them and said to them, I have forgiven you. You can do whatever you please. Not that they did whatever they pleased. It's like when you trust someone, you know he will not betray your trust. And then you say, whatever, do whatever you like. It doesn't mean just take everything home and go away and leave me bankrupt. You know this man will not betray your trust. Allah knew people of Badr are sincere, devoted through and through. They will not let me down. So Allah said, let the people of Badr know I have forgiven them to such an extent they can do whatever they please. 17th of Badr, every Ramadan Muslims, they mark by talking about the victory in most masajids. But so happens, as Aisha radiallahu anha, she passed away on the 17th of Ramadan as well. So last year, the clip is on YouTube, she has marked the 17th of Ramadan by rejoicing the death of Hazrat Aisha and cursing her and chanting. Many times when there's a gathering, people they recite Quran, then they recite a nasheed by chanting, singing songs, saying Aisha finnar, Aisha finnar, na'udhu billah min dhalik. There are scholars, endless scholars of Shias, endless clips on YouTube where Shia, prominent Shia scholars are cursing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Aisha, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in. And there are Shia scholars propagating the fact that Aisha, na'udhu billah, and along with Hazrat Hafsa, conspired with Abu Bakr and Umar to poison Rasulullah. Is that the Rasulullah that we believe in? We believe in Muhammadur Rasulullah, about whom Allah said, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah says, I have written, I will be dominant and so will my Rasuls. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. Allah will protect you from all the people. No one will ever be able to get anywhere near you to harm you, kill you. People try to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Jahl tried it endlessly in Makkah. Did he get away with it? Rasulullah in Uhud was surrounded by enemies. His teeth got hurt, but did he get killed? Once the Jews invited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to their settlements, made Rasulullah sit in a place. Their plan was they will throw a heavy rock from the top, crush Rasulullah. The moment Rasulullah got there, Jibreel came, Ya Rasulullah, please walk away from here. These Jews, they have a sinister plan for you. Rasulullah angrily got up and left, then came back later to deal with them. In Khaybar, another Jewish woman, she prepared, she made a dawat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prepared a meal, cooked some meat, added some poison, so that Rasulullah would eat and be done with. But as soon as the Rasulullah took one morsel, Allah commanded the meat to speak. Ya Rasulullah, please don't eat me, I'm poisoned. Rasulullah withdrew his hand. People tried endlessly to kill Rasulullah. But Rasulullah took one morsel. And that one morsel became the source of the fulfillment of the Prophet's wish. Rasulullah wanted to die a shaheed. No one was ever going to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah saved his beloved Prophet at the time when the mission was complete. Islam had prevailed and spread all over Arabia. And now ultimately Allah gave Rasulullah the choice whether he wants to live longer or die and return to Allah to be rewarded. Rasulullah expressed his wish to leave the world to return to Allah to be rewarded. Everything was done. The Prophet wished to leave the world. Then that poison resurfaced, co-becoming a source of the Prophet's death, so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could be awarded with the death of shahadat as well. But the Shias, they say, no, no, no. It was in reality Aisha and Hafsa, na'uzu billah, they secretly poisoned Rasulullah. And because of that poison, Rasulullah died. When anybody, Allah blesses them with sons, or a person wants to get married, do you just walk out of the street onto the street, the first woman you see, you grab her and you marry her? When you want to get married, you look for the best possible bride to grace your life. When your sons grow up, you want the best possible bride for him and to be your daughter-in-law, so that he can live happily with her. You want the best bride for your son. Doesn't Allah want the best bride for his Nabi? You think Allah will allow any woman to come into the house of Rasulullah? Ya Nisa al-Nabiyyi, lastunnaka ahadim minan nisa. Allah chose the best of the best from the whole humanity to be the wives of Rasulullah, to be the wives of Rasulullah, and to be our mothers. And the wives of Rasulullah aren't ordinary women. An-nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. The wives of Rasulullah are the mothers of all the believers. Anybody who accepts Aisha as his mother, Hafsa as his mother, in the eyes of Allah, he's a believer. Otherwise, who doesn't, in the eyes of Allah, he's a traitor. Because she's the mother of believers, anyone who doesn't accept Aisha radiallahu anha, and Hafsa, and Umme Habiba, Zainab bint Jahsh, Zainab bint Khuzaima, Umme Salma, Maimuna, Jawairia, and others, who married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he doesn't accept them as their mother, then wallahi al-azim, he's a kafir. He's a kafir. Why? The mother you have at home, she might be your mother, she might not be your mother. But Allah is saying that the wives of Rasulullah are your mothers. So anybody who doesn't accept the wives of Rasulullah is denying Allah, rebelling against Allah, refusing Allah, rejecting Allah's verdict and going against Allah. And can he be a Muslim? Can he be a Muslim? Never. So anyone who barks against Aisha radiallahu anha, or Hafsa radiallahu anha, or any other wife of Rasulullah, or the companions of Rasulullah, in the eyes of Allah, he deserves no sympathy. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, show him no sympathy, rather curse him. Because Allah has cursed him. Allah has cursed many people in the Quran. Allah is the Rahmanur Rahim. Allah is prepared to forgive anybody who repents, seeks forgiveness, gives up sinning, tries to walk the straight path. Anybody wants to come close to Allah, Allah is prepared to forgive. Doesn't matter what you've done. Ya ibn Adam, Hadith Qudsi, reported by Imam Tirmizi, reported by Imam Nawawi in Riyadhus Salihin as well. Ya ibn Adam, law balagat dhunubuka anan as-sama. Oh, you son of Adam, if your sins were to pile up to the heavens, don't worry, just make istighfar. ثُمَّ اسْتَغْفَرْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. I'll forgive you for whatever you have done, doesn't bother me. يَا ابْنَ آدَمَ إِنَّكَ مَا دَعَوْتَنِي وَرَجَوْتَنِي غَفَرْتُ لَكَ عَلَى مَا كَانَ مِنْكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي. Oh, you son of Adam, as long as you keep turning to me, praying to me, I'll keep forgiving you. Don't worry, I don't care. يَبْنَ آدَمْ لَوْ أَتَيْتَنِي بِقُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطَايَا لَا تُشْرِكُ بِي شَيَّا لَأَتَيْتُكَ بِقُرَابِهَا مَغْفِرًا. Oh, you son of Adam, if you came to me with sins equivalent to grains of sand, I will welcome, providing you haven't committed shirk, I will welcome you with even more forgiveness. To forgive for Allah, no problem. But Allah doesn't want to forgive certain people, and Allah will not forgive certain people. Among them, mushriks, kafirs. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. Allah has made it haram to be admitted, for them to be admitted into Jannah. And Allah curses, Allah is لَانَةُ اللَّهِ إِلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ لَانَةُ اللَّهِ إِلَى الْكَافِرِينَ لَانَةُ اللَّهِ إِلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. And those who break off ties with relatives, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّانَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. And then Allah says, those who إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, those who give grief to Allah and His Rasul, لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, Allah will curse them in this world and the life hereafter. Now those you think, Rasulullah, if someone comes and let alone say something nasty, in many parts of the world, if somebody said something, gave a compliment to your wife as well, probably be the last thing he ever says in his life. If somebody, in many parts of the world, man, your wife is so beautiful, probably be the last thing he ever says. What the hell are you talking about? You dare look at my wife in that way? Allahu Akbar. Just to give another person a compliment, saying, your wife is so nice, man. That will probably be the last thing a person ever says. Somebody, let alone give a compliment, you say something nasty to somebody's wife. You call her by I don't want to repeat those words in the masjid. Probably many people might be aware of those words even more than me and better than me and might even use them more. But Allahu Akbar, you try and say something nasty about your wife, about somebody's wife. Probably the last thing you ever say to him, he might not say anything, but probably won't ever want to speak to you again. If that's the case with you, just imagine someone saying something nasty about your wife. Many people don't even take something nasty from their own mother and father regarding their wife. Mom, dad, fine. That's it. I've had enough. I'm leaving. I'll come and see you when I can, but I can't stay here anymore. Does that happen? It happens quite common nowadays. You can't take something regarding your wife from even your mother and father. You think Rasulullah can take cursing of his wife from kafirs? Anybody claim to be a Muslim and then curse the wife of Rasulullah? And these Shias, they do that day and night. They curse Abu Bakr, they curse Hazrat Umar, they curse Hazrat Usman, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een. And people think, you know what, Maulana, don't call them kafirs. Why not? Maulana, they read Kalima, they read Namaz, they've got a masjid, they read Quran, they even go to Hajj. They give a lot of charity, Maulana. Don't call them kafir. Why are you sympathizing with them? Didn't Hazrat Abu Bakr read Kalima? Didn't he used to read Namaz? Didn't he do Hajj? Didn't he used to fast? Didn't he used to read Quran? He spent his life with Rasulullah. Every last penny he had, he spent upon Rasulullah. And these people call him a kafir. You got no sympathy for Abu Bakr. You got sympathy for this filthy Shia kafir. Didn't Umar radiallahu anhu used to read his kalima? Didn't he used to read namaz? Didn't he used to fast? Didn't he do hajj? Didn't Rasulullah say, if there was to be a prophet after me, it would be Umar? It would be Khumaini? Rafsanjani? Bakir Majusi? Others? No! Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he was to be another prophet after me, would be who? Umar radiallahu anhu. So much so, Allah loved Abu Bakr and Umar, so much so, the Prophet loved them so much so, when the Prophet left this world, the only people to join him in his resting place, Abu Bakr and Umar. Rasulullah had said, خُلِقْتُ أَنَا وَأَبُو بَكَرْ وَعُمَرْ مِنْ تُرْبَةٍ وَاحِدًا. Me and Abu Bakr and Umar have been created from the same clay. It makes mention in hadith, when a child is conceived in the womb of his mother, an angel comes. Among other things, he asks Allah, Ya Allah, hal shaqiyun aw sa'id? Is he going to be a man with a good kismet or a bad kismet? He brings some dust from the grave where he is to be buried, mixes it with the fetus, and then it's the dust from the grave mixed into him, in his genes, which then pulls him to be buried where he is to be buried. It wasn't for nothing that Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma were buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as though the mixture Allah prepared to make Rasulullah, what was left over, Abu Bakr was made from the same mixture. What was left, Umar was made from the same mixture. And Rasulullah then said, me and Abu Bakr and Umar were made from the same clay, and that's where we'll be buried. Isn't Abu Bakr buried with Rasulullah? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu buried next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isn't that a sign and a proof of their nearness, friendship, closeness, love for Rasulullah? And the fact that Rasulullah loves them, Allah brought them close to Rasulullah. Once the Prophet was going, Abu Bakr on the right, Umar on the left, Rasulullah put his hands on both of them. Abu Bakr on the right, Umar on the left. The Prophet said, Hakadha nubathu yawm al-qiyamah. Not only are we here in the world like this, this is how we will rise on the day of Qiyamah as well. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was with Rasulullah in the cave, is now with him in the grave, shall rise with him on the day of Qiyamah, shall be with him on the pond and then beyond for eternity, along with Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. Anybody wants to burn can burn all the way to hell. Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar will remain with Rasulullah. It's not just an ordinary affair. It's not just a question of Sahaba and Hazrat Abu Bakr. It's the question of the integrity of Rasulullah. Any man, the Shias believe, any reputable book of Shias is filled with the fact that after Rasulullah left this world, 23 years of preaching, teaching, day and night spending with these blessed, noble souls that Allah chose to be in His company, to listen to His noble words, to soothe their eyes with the vision of Rasulullah. Many people pride themselves, I've seen so and so sheikh, mashallah, many mubaraks, but Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma and the rest of the companions saw the greatest of them all, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard somebody was telling me, Sheikh Shatri is coming to South Africa next week. Whenever anybody hears he'll be coming, I'm telling, if he comes here, the whole masjid will probably be filled up. So, mashallah, Sheikh Shatri, Imam of one, mashallah, from the Haram, and mashallah, a renowned reciter, when he comes, everybody flocks. But mashallah, can you imagine the good fortune of Hazrat Abu Bakr and Umar and Usman and Ali and others? They used to pray 5 times. Not just 1 week or 2 days or a month, for 10 years they prayed every namaz behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tamassan naru musliman ra'ani aw ra'a man ra'ani." The fire of Jahannam will not touch a Muslim who has seen me, not only seen me, seen someone who's seen me. And these blessed souls saw Rasulullah day and night, heard from his noble words, so comforted, soothed their eyes with by beholding and with the vision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these people have the audacity to bark. Anybody who says anything against these noble souls, it's nothing but barking. It's even insult to a dog to compare such words as barking. Allah doesn't tolerate any nonsense with regards to such people. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ الْغَافِلَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Those who slander such people, Allah says, لُعِنُوا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This is Quran, Quran, Surah Nur. Read it. You will see Allah doesn't tolerate any nonsense. Anyone who slanders them, Allah says, they deserve to be cursed in this world and the life hereafter. Allah will show them no sympathy. Allah will show them no forgiveness.
Allah will not want to know them.
Allah won't want to know them. Rasulullah doesn't want to know them. You have to judge for yourself and decide where is your sympathy with those who are faithful to Rasulullah or those who bark at Rasulullah. You want to meet Rasulullah on the day of Qiyamah. If you pray 5 times a day, many Mubaraks. You might fast every Ramadan. Not just Ramadan, 6 additional after Ramadan. And not just 6 additional after Ramadan. You may fast every Thursday, every Monday, or even more. You might be giving a lot of charity. You might be doing much more, going to Hajj and Umrah every year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inni faratukum ala al-hawd. I'll wait for you on the pond. Wala yaridanna alayya aqwaman. Nations will come. People will come in their large numbers. فَأَعْرِفُهُمْ وَيَعْرِفُونَنِي They will. This is a sahih hadith from Muslim Sharif. And the Prophet said, I'll look at them and I'll recognize them. They will recognize me. How will Rasulullah recognize them? When they used to make wudu, wash themselves, then their arms would shine, faces would shine, feet would shine. And so Rasulullah would recognize them. They would have been doing all good things. ثُمَّ يُحَالُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُمْ Angels will stop them. The Prophet will say, let them come, innahum minni, they are mine. Angels will say, Ya Rasulullah, no, they are not yours. Innaka la tadri ma ahdathu ba'dak. Ya Rasulullah, you don't know what they did after you. All the new things they invented after you. Rasulullah would then say, sohkan sohkan liman baddala ba'di. Take them away from me. I don't want to know them for all the changes they made after me. The Quran teaches us Allah gives life and death. Allah gives happiness and sorrow. Shia books are filled with the fact Hazrat Ali gives life and death. I've got the books in the car. I showed them in yesterday's talk in the town we were in last night. Shias believe Hazrat Ali gives life and death. Shias believe no mu'min, no kafir, no mushrik, no munafiq can die until Hazrat Ali comes and gives the go-ahead. Now you can take him away. Whenever we pray to Allah. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka. Do you pray that? Don't you know it? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'een. We pray to Allah, Ya Allah. We pray to you and seek your forgiveness. Shia say, Ya Ali Madad. Whenever they run into problems, they pray to Hazrat Ali. Mullah Bakir Majlisi in Jilaul Uyun, I read out the quote yesterday. He said, it's an accusation he barked upon all the prophets. He says, it's the teaching of Quran and the sunnah of all the prophets. Whenever you run into a problem, ask Ali to save you. Their God, they don't say Ali is God, but they assign Allah's attributes to Hazrat Ali. We believe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not just a prophet of Allah, but the last prophet of Allah. Perhaps no one has told you ever. We believe Rasulullah is not just a prophet of Allah, but last prophet of Allah. Rasulullah said there will be 30 such imposters, liars, kazzabuna, dajjalun. Kullum yazamu annahu nabi wa ana khatamun nabiyyin la nabiyya ba'di. There will come 30 imposters, liars of the highest caliber. Now, you know in English you say big, bigger, biggest. Strong, stronger, strongest. In Arabic there are degrees as well. Alim, Alim, Allam. Ghafir, Ghafoor, Ghaffar. Kadhib, Kadhub and Kadhab. Lanatullahi al-Kadhibin. Allah curses the liars. Such people who lay claim to Nubuwwat are not just Kadhibs but Kadhabs. Kadhib, Kadhub, Kadhab. The Prophet said such people will be liars, imposters of the highest caliber. Many people have laid claims. The Prophet said there will be at least 30 such people. The latest one, unfortunately and sadly, was from the Indian subcontinent, from Punjab. His name was Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. Many times when we mention the name of a Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, when we say name of a Sahabi, we say Hazrat Abu Bakr, radiyallahu anhu. When we make the name, mention the name of a pious man, Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayh. When you take the name of such people, Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, you say, lanatullahi alayh. May Allah's curse be upon such liars, because Allah curses them in Quran. Rasulullah has confirmed them as not being kadhibs only, but kazzaboon dajjaloon. He said, I am a Nabi. He said, forget about Ibn Maryam. He said that the Prophet has spoken about the coming of the Messiah. Whole Ummah has been waiting 1300 years. He hasn't turned up. Arm your men. People said, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will come as Ibn Maryam will come. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِي لَيُوشَكَنَا يَنْزَلَ فِيكُمْ Ibn Maryam. Ibn Maryam will come, son of Maryam. His mother's name was Maryam. Your mother's name, Chiragh Bibi. Chiragh Bibi. He was going to come in Damascus on a minaret. You were born and raised and grew up here. He said, that's all right. Give me money. We'll build a minaret. I'll go up and then come down. Such a clown of Qadian. Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani, lanatullahi alayhi. Rasulullah is not just a Nabi, but Khatamun Nabiyyin, Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Very first page of Quran, Allah describes the believers. Walladhina yu'minuna bima unzila ilayka wa ma unzila min qablik. Those who believe in what was revealed upon you and what was revealed before you. If there was to be any revelation, anything from Allah directly, Allah would have mentioned it there. Does the ayat continue to say, wa yu'minuna bima yunzalu min badak? Is there any such verse in the Quran? So it shows after Rasulullah there will be no prophet. There'll be no prophet, there'll be no revelation, there'll be no heavenly guidance. But the Shias, they say, Qadianis, they say there was one Nabi. Shias, they say there were 12 Imams. They say there were 12 Imams. You can't go to Allah, please Allah, worship Allah, obey Allah, please Allah, without going through the Imams. Imams will guide you, and then only then they are divinely guided. There is no such concept in the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not ordain any such concept. So the Shias believe in a different sort of God. They believe in other Imams even more superior than prophets. Mullah Bakir, you type on your smartphones or you go home on Google, on your computers and laptops, and ask Mr. Google, what do you say about Mullah Bakir Majlisi? He will say, Sheikh Google will give you the fatwa, or rather Mufti Twitter will say to you, he was the most powerful Shia scholar of all times. And he says in Jilaul Uyun, I've got the book in the car, if you want to see it, I can show you after the lecture. He says, all these 12 Imams are superior than all the prophets. So their concept of Nubuwwat is something else. We believe the Quran is the divine revelation of Allah. Every vowel, you know what vowel is? Zabr, Zair, Pesh, Fatah, Kasra, Dhamma. Every vowel of every letter, of every word, of every ayat is under the divine supervision of Allah. Allah has taken responsibility to protect it. Shias, they say, you know how many verses in the Quran there are in the Quran that Allah has given us? The Quran, Balawa Quranum Majidun fi Lawhim Mahfuz. 6,000, some say 666, other people they say 6,236 or 34. But around 6,000 unanimously accepted. Shias, they say, Innal Quran alladhi ja'a bihi Jibra'il ala Muhammadin sab'ata ashr alfa ayah. 17,000 verses. So we have only 6,000. So what's happened to the other 11,000? Allah said Allah was going to protect them. Allah was going to look after it. Allah was going to safeguard it. Allah was responsible for it. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. This is the book in which there is no doubt. But two-thirds is missing. Where is it gone? The Shias, they say, the Sahaba just lost it, got rid of it, na'uzubillah. So they believe, they don't believe this is the full, complete Quran.
they will fool you into saying, we believe every word is Quran. But they don't believe this is the complete Quran. Because they say in the complete Quran, there were many verses to do with the imamat of Hazrat Ali, Fazail of the Ahle Bayt, and so many other things. Hazrat Fatima had a Sahifa Mushaf, which was 70 yards long, and three times as big as the Quran, and in that Sahifa, there wasn't a single word from your Quran. So in the Quran, there is Allah. So in the Quran of the Shias, which was with Hazrat Fatima, na'uzu billah, the word Allah wasn't there. The word Rasul wasn't there. There was no mention of Salat, no mention of Zakat. No, because Jannat is in the Quran and Jahannam is in the Quran. So Jannat and Jahannam are not in their Mushaf. There is no mention of previous prophets. There is no mention of Qiyamah. There is no mention of goodness, because that's all in the Quran. Mention of good akhlaq is in the Quran. So in the Quran of the Shias, there is no Allah, there is no Rasulullah, there is no prophet, there is no angel, there is no shaitan, there is no Jibreel, there is no Mikael, there is no Jannat, no Jahannam, no Akhirat. So what is in their Quran? Even kufr can't be in the Quran, because that's also in the Quran. So Allah knows what they believe in. They don't believe this Quran to is, and this is written in Usul-e-Kafi. I have that in my car as well. If anybody wants to see 17,000 verses. So the whole deen of Shiaism is a totally different deen to the deen Allah gave Rasulullah. In the deen, Allah gave Rasulullah. In the Quran, Allah gave Rasulullah. Allah expresses His infinite pleasure, His happiness, His blessings, His favors, promise of Jannah to Sahaba. But the Shias, they say, that all such people will be going to Jahannam, na'uzubillah. Allah says that the companions of Rasulullah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ, they were Muslim mu'mins through and through. Shias, they say, they were munafiqs through and through. Na'uzubillah min zalik. Na'uzubillah min zalik. So their deen is a totally different deen. Deen of Rasulullah. Deen of Allah, which Allah revealed upon Rasulullah. Which Rasulullah taught Sahaba. The Shias, they say, when as soon as Rasulullah left this world, Hayatul Qulub, page 900, volume 2. And there Mullah Baqir Majlisi Majusi says, when Rasulullah passed away, all the Sahaba became murtad. This is an accusation not just on Sahaba. This is an insult to Rasulullah. Why, you may ask? Rasulullah is rahmatul lil alameen. Any teacher, any professor is given a class of students, 100,000 students hand-picked by the community. And the professor is given 23 years to teach them and train them. And when after 23 years, those students, the best of the best, were then tested, the ones Allah says in the Quran, He Himself tested. You know, at the end of the year in madrasa, there's exam. There's a madrasa here, Hifz class, other maktab class. At the end of the year, there are exams. Sometimes what people do, they called an external examiner, please come and, you know, we've taught our children, please come and take their exam. Do they do that here? They do that everywhere. Universities, colleges, schools, there are exams. MashaAllah, you've taught your children, did whatever. Now they need to be tested. They need to be tested so that they can be promoted to the next class. Rasulullah taught his companions 23 years, 100,000 plus of them. If any professor teaches a class of 100,000 or 1,000 or 100 even, and teaches them 23 years and only 4 pass, what do you think about that professor? What would you say? What sort of a job has he done? Huh? Sorry? Rotten professor. Rasulullah didn't just teach 100 students. 100,000 students, 23 years. Allah was watching, sending revelation. Shias, they say, as soon as Rasulullah left this world, only 4 stood their ground. Everybody else failed. So where does the blame go? The blame doesn't go on Abu Bakr. The blame doesn't go on Umar.
the blame won't go on Hazrat Usman or Talha Saad Saeed or Hazrat Ali and others. The blame will go on who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Rasulullah didn't do a good job with these students. Even according to Shias, according to Christians, Jesus was on a 3-year mission. He appeared at the age of 30, died, according to the Bible, was crucified at the age of 33. On a 3-year mission, he prepared, you know how many disciples? 12 disciples. How many years? 3 years. So if Jesus can prepare 12 in 3 years, and Rasulullah prepared, na'uzubillah, only 4 in 23 years, where does that leave Rasulullah with the other prophets? Where does that leave Rasulullah in any standard? So when we say, brothers, save yourselves from this fitna, from this kufr, and don't say, Maulana, they read kalima, they read namaz, they fast in the month of Ramadan, they did so much good in Iran, and good for them. Don't tell us they go to Hajj. Even Abu Jahl used to do Hajj. Didn't Abu Jahl do Hajj? Didn't Abu Jahl used to sit in front of the Kaaba every day? Abu Jahl used to do that as well. So don't be fooled by those crocodile tears they cry in love of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they want you to believe that as soon as Rasulullah died, Abu Bakr na'uzubillah, Hazrat Umar na'uzubillah, they deprived Hazrat Fatima of the request and a share in the wealth Rasulullah left behind. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not leave behind a single penny for his family. He didn't leave behind. Many people, mashallah, do businesses. Many people have multiple chains. They grow old, white beards, but they still work. You ask them, Haji Sahab, why are you burdening yourself? Why do you work so hard? They often say, for the children, for the family. If Rasulullah had left even a penny for his daughter Fatima, people would have said, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did all this for his family. But Rasulullah said, no. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Every moment of my life, my praise, my sacrifice, my life, and only for Allah. All previous prophets, they left this world saying, يَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. I don't want any reward from anyone in this world. I want my reward, but I want it from Allah. So you think Rasulullah was inferior to other prophets? Rasulullah did even more. When Rasulullah would be given sadaqah, he would not eat even a morsel himself. He would not allow his children, Hassan and Hussein and Fatima radiallahu anha, to eat even a morsel from anything which was given in sadaqah. Once Hazrat Hassan or Hazrat Hussein, they came to the Prophet's house. There were some dates which were sent from sadaqah. Children are children, they don't know. Hazrat Hassan or Hussein picked up the date, put them into their mouths. Rasulullah put his fingers into their mouths and took it out. And to make sure his grandchildren don't eat even a morsel from anything which is for the fuqara. Rasulullah didn't leave a penny for his family. And he said it and he made it plain clear. إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَا لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. No prophet ever leaves even a single penny after him to be distributed in inheritance. This hadith isn't even only in Sunni books. This hadith is in Shia books as well. So when it is in their own books, confirms Rasulullah didn't leave even a penny for Hazrat Fatima, then how can Hazrat Fatima come and ask Abu Bakr for any share? Perhaps she didn't know. So she came and asked. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told her, Rasulullah hasn't left you anything personally. Whatever he had under his control for the whole family, for the fuqara, I will look after all your interests. I will give you allowance. I will look after your needs. But I can't give anything in your ownership. Shias, they say, Hazrat Fatima became angry with Abu Bakr. How can you not give me what my father owned? She didn't accept this. And so she became angry and did not speak to Abu Bakr for the rest of her life. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Fatima is part of my heart. Whosoever upsets her, upsets me. Whosoever upsets me, upsets Allah. Abu Bakr upset Fatima, so upset Rasulullah, so upset Allah. So Abu Bakr can never go to Jannah. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. Abu Bakr will be the first man to go to Jannah. In fact, when Hazrat Abu Bakr will go to Jannah, Jannah will welcome him with all its gates open. We will welcome Abu Bakr with all its gates open. If that was the case, if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not give Fatima what she deserved, when Hazrat Ali became Khalifa and he had a total control, why did he not then pass on what Fatima was supposed to get to her children? See, they say, oh no, you don't know how noble the Ahl-e Bayt are. They are so noble. When something is taken away, they spit upon it. They don't want it ever again. Well, Khilafat was taken away as well. Why did they accept it then? Fadak was taken away once to be returned. Don't, they won't accept it. Khilafat wasn't taken away once. Khilafat was first given to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Then Hazrat Umar. Then Hazrat Usman. And having been around three times, then came to Hazrat Ali. Then why did Hazrat Ali accept it then? He knew he didn't deserve it first time. He knew he didn't deserve it second time either. He knew he didn't deserve it third time either. He knew he comes at number. When it came down number four, he accepted it readily because that was his share. He was the fourth in line, he accepted it. And in any case, this riwayat is there in Sunni books that Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha did not speak to Hazrat Abu Bakr after that again. But the reason is, not because she was upset. Was Hazrat Fatima Hazrat Abu Bakr's mahram? Was she his wife? His daughter? His sister? His mother? His granddaughter? Whose daughter was she? Daughter of Rasulullah. Whose wife was she? Hazrat Ali's. Whose mother was she? Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. So her needs, all her affairs, were the responsibility of who? Firstly, Hazrat Ali. Secondly, Hazrat Hassan. Thirdly, Hazrat Hussein. There was no need for Fatima to talk to Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. Why should she go around to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Would you like your wife to go around to somebody else's house? Would you like your daughter going on somebody else's house? Would you like somebody, some other man coming to your house to talk to your wife, to talk to your daughter? Why should Abu Bakr do the same? So when Fatima radiallahu anha, she did not talk to Abu Bakr, not that because she was angry, because she didn't have any need to talk to Abu Bakr. And in any case, as soon as Rasulullah left this world, Hazrat Fatima so loved Rasulullah, as soon as left this world, she fell ill. The next 6 months, and only 6 months, she spent mostly on bed, ill. When Fatima radiallahu anha was ill, who was tending to her? The wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, Asma bint Umays radiallahu anha, she would come and visit Hazrat Fatima day and night. So much so, when Hazrat Fatima passed away, it was the wife of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who gave Hazrat Fatima the ghusl. And when her janazah was ready, the man who led her janazah even was none other than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So if Fatima would have been upset with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you think Hazrat Ali would have allowed Hazrat Abu Bakr to lead a janazah? It says, now when the janazah was ready, Hazrat Abu Bakr said to Ali, Ali, she's your wife, you go ahead. Hazrat Ali said, you are the man Rasulullah put in front, how can I put you back? Everybody knew the man in front has always got to be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Shias then say, oh, when Abu Bakr didn't give Fatima her share, and then she came home all disappointed, depressed, and she came home, Umar followed her. Then Umar followed her, came and knocked on the door. When nobody opened the door, he threw the door down. Hazrat Fatima was coming to open the door. The door fell on Fatima. She fell down. Umar jumped on her, kicked her, beat her up. She was expecting, she had a miscarriage. This is why we hate Umar. Nauzubillah. If Hazrat Fatima was at home, where was Ali? If there is any truth in this story is absolutely rubbish, absolute fabricated story. No truth whatsoever. If there was any truth in it, when Hazrat Umar came down to the house, when somebody comes to your house and he's shouting angry, who do you send? You send your wife to open the door? Your daughter to open the door? At midnight, if there is a knock, you think somebody might be on a break-in, you send your wife outside? Who goes? You'll go yourself. If Ali radiallahu anhu was at home, which he was, why did he allow Hazrat Fatima to go and open the door? And when Hazrat Umar came in, Fatima radiallahu anhu had fallen down. When Hazrat Umar, na'uzu billah, which he wasn't, but if he was kicking Fatima radiallahu anha, where was Ali? Why did he not come to her rescue? If there is any truth, at the time, Hazrat Umar was an old man, 51 years old. Because when he passed it 12 years later, he was 63. 63 minus 12 is 51. He was at least 50 years old. 50 year old is a young man. In any community, 50-year-old man is a old man. Hazrat Ali was lion of Allah. Hazrat Ali had proven his bravery, strength, chivalry many times over. Everybody knew Ali is the lion of Allah. 33 years young, strong man. When he became a Muslim, he was 10 years old. After 23 years, when Rasulullah left this world, he was 10 plus 23 is 33-year-old man is not an old man, but in his prime. He's at his peak. And this is the age some people say will be of people in Jannah. In his prime, strong, his best part of life. Strong man in his prime, sitting at home. An old man comes, kicks the wife, the daughter of Rasulullah, beats her up. He just sits there. Can you believe that? Is that worth believing? If there's any truth, who's guilty? Who is guilty? Ali radiallahu anhu. But we don't say he's guilty because there was nothing to defend. Umar never did any such thing. Umar could not dare do such a thing. Because he knew Fatima radiallahu anha is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Abu Bakr, they weren't enemies of the Ahl Bayt. They took care of the Ahl Bayt. Finally, few minutes. You know, if you hate someone, suppose, you know, you hate someone, he's done you serious wrong, then when Allah blesses you with children, will you name your son after him? Huh? Someone to remind you all your life of a person who wronged you, deprived you, hated you, beat you up, beat your wife up. Will you name your children after them? In the Quran, there are many names mentioned. There's one name, Iblis. It's in the Quran. If Allah blesses you with the son, anybody got a son by the name of Iblis? Anybody want to name a son Iblis? Okay, you might not think Iblis is good, but there was a very famous, very powerful king. His name was Fir'aun. Perhaps you've got sons by the name of Pharaohs. You want your sons, who would mind his son becoming a king? Perhaps you want your son to be a king, so name him Pharaoh. Haman, Shaddad, Qarud. Any Muslim named their sons after them? The Shias, they say, na'uzubillah, na'uzubillah, that Abu Bakr and Umar, in one of these Shia channels last year in London, they were talking about Sahaba, insulting them, cursing them. One Sunni man couldn't take it anymore. He phoned in. It was a live chat show. He phoned in. He said, how dare you insult Umar radiallahu anhu, when Rasulullah said that when Umar walks a pass, shaitan leaves. That Shia Khabis, he said, yes, when the big shaitan comes, the small shaitan leaves. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. So if Hazrat Ali, na'udhu billah, regarded Hazrat Umar to be a bigger shaitan than shaitan, would he have named his sons after him? Shia books, they tell you, Shia books. It's written when Ali radiallahu anhu, when he married Hazrat Fatima, Allah gave him two sons from Hazrat Fatima. Their names were Hassan and Hussein. Later on, Allah gave Hazrat Ali many other sons. He married other women. One of the women Hazrat Ali married was a woman given to him by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And even the Shias acknowledge that after Hassan and Hussein, Hazrat Ali's biggest son and favorite son was Muhammad bin Hanafiya. He was born to Hazrat Ali through a woman given to Hazrat Ali by Abu Bakr. And there's a riwayat in Bukhari by Muhammad bin Hanafiya. He said to Hazrat Ali, he said, "Sa'altu abi an ayyin nasi khairun ba'da nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "I asked my father, Hazrat Ali, who is the best man after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And Hazrat Ali said, "Abu Bakr." "Qultu thumma man?" I said, "Then who?" He said, "Umar." And then he says, "Wa khashitu an yaqula Uthman fa qultu thumma anta?" Then I was afraid he might say Uthman, so I said, "Father, after Umar was it you?" He said, "Ma ana illa rajulun min al-muslimin." I was only an ordinary Muslim. Hazrat Ali wasn't ordinary. Hazrat Ali was special. But even Hazrat Ali knew, after Rasulullah, it's Abu Bakr. After Abu Bakr, it's Umar. After Umar, it's Usman. Then after, obviously, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is next in line. So when Hazrat Ali married many other women, Allah gave him many sons. There were already Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. Then he named three Muhammad. Muhammad Akbar, Muhammad Awsat, Muhammad Asghar. Then he named two, Abdullah, Ubaidullah. Four after his family, Jafar, Yahya, Aun, Abbas. Three, he named Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. Allah gave Hazrat Hassan sons. He named his sons many. And then he named one son Abu Bakr, one son Umar. Allah gave Hazrat Hussein sons. He named one Abu Bakr, one Umar. Then Imam Zainul Abidin, Allah gave him sons. He named one Muhammad. He named one Umar, he named one Uthman, he named one Zaid. So even imams, the Shias regard as imams, if Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman were their enemies, would they have named their children after them? Not just name their children after them. If Allah gives you daughters, somebody comes and proposes for your daughter. If some kafir, khabis, majusi, he comes and asks for the hand of your daughter in marriage, will you give your daughter in marriage to them? You would never give your hand of your daughter in marriage to a kafir. If Ali radiallahu anhu, just as Allah gave him sons through Hazrat Fatima, Allah gave him two daughters through Hazrat Fatima. One was called Zainab, one was called Umm Kulthum. Umm Kulthum was even older than Hazrat Hassan. She was their firstborn. Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. Sahabiya, daughter of Hazrat Fatima and Hazrat Ali, when she reached the age where she could be married, Hazrat Umar came to Hazrat Ali's house. Hazrat Fatima had passed away. Hazrat Umar said, "Ali, please do me a favor. Your daughter has now reached the age where she can be married. I want the honor of marrying her." Hazrat Ali said, "I have reserved her for my nephew Jafar. I have reserved her for my Abdullah bin Jafar." Sorry, Jafar was at Ali's brother. He was martyred in Muta. He had a son by the name of Abdullah. He said, "I have reserved her for Abdullah." Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Ali, please, I deserve more. I want the honor of strengthening my ties and relationship with Rasulullah. Give me the honor of marrying her." Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu agreed and gave
agreed to marry his daughter through Hazrat Fatima to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. And when Hazrat Umar left the house all happy, he said, "People, congratulate me." People said, "Why?" He goes, "Ali has agreed to give me his daughter in marriage. That strengthened my ties with Rasulullah. So congratulate me." So Hazrat Ali, when he gave his daughter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, if Hazrat Ali thought he was a kafir, would he have given him his daughter? So when Hazrat Ali gave his daughter, sister of Hazrat Hassan and Hussein, do you think Hazrat Hassan and Hussein would have objected to the decision of their father? They participated in the marriage. They agreed to the marriage. And so marriage approved by three imams. Three imams that the Shias, they say, were imams. So these three imams agreed to give their daughter or a sister to a kafir, na'uzubillah. So when they agreed to the nikah and marriage of Ali's daughter and the sister of Hassan and Hussein to Hazrat Umar, it shows they consider Hazrat Umar to be a true mu'min, not just a mu'min, but Amirul Mu'mineen. So when the Shias, they bark, you know there's nothing but barking. They want you to think that the Khulafa Rashidun were enemies of Ahlul Bayt. If they were enemies of Ahlul Bayt, they would not name their children after them. Then they certainly would not have given their daughters in marriage to Hazrat Umar or their descendants. Just as Hazrat Ali gave his daughter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Hussein gave two of his daughters, Hazrat Fatima and Sakina, to grandsons of Hazrat Usman. Abdullah bin Amr bin Usman, Zaid bin Amr bin Usman, Fatima and Sakina, daughters of Hazrat Hussein, sisters of Imam Zainul Abideen, they were the wives of the grandsons of Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu. Our fiqh Hanfi, fiqh of the Shias, fiqh Jafariya, the mother of Imam Jafar, Sadiq radiallahu anhu, is the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Umme Farwa, she is the daughter of Qasim bin Muhammad bin Abi Bakr. Umme Farwa, the mother of Imam Jafar, her mother is Asma bint Abi Bakr, Asma bint Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr. Umme Farwa is the great granddaughter of Abu Bakr from two chains. And so the Shia, if they curse Abu Bakr, they are cursing the great grandfather of the mother of Imam Jafar Sadiq. So Shiaism is based on nothing but lies and hatred and kufr. So it's up to you where your sympathy lies.